On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. I need really work on this. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there was 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites. There for the Jewish rites of purification. Each holding 20 to 30 gallons, Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And they said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have the good wine. I've kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Well, all right, it wasn't that a fun reading. So let's kind of break this down a little bit, okay? So you see that in the beginning of this chapter, we see that there is Jesus' mother. Jesus kind of refers to her as woman. In a lot of ways, this is seen nowadays as disrespectful. However, culturally, it wasn't. And let me ask you this. In chapter 19, doesn't he also say, "Woman, this is your son, and son, this is your mother"? When he's hanging on the cross, does he not also call her woman? As he's telling the disciple John to take care of his mother. Is that disrespect? Something to ponder on. I think John's probably one of my favorite. I would say, no, it is. It is definitely my favorite. By gospel. Okay, yeah. Verse 2. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. Now, the commentary that I've read, or that I took notes off of, talks about how some disciples were invited, but some were not. And we don't know which ones were and which ones were not. But remember, there are in the hometown of Nathanael, one of the disciples. So I'm guessing he might be one of them, but we don't know for sure. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus... That's another interesting point, isn't it? They don't really refer to her as Mary. They just refer to her as the mother of Jesus. But only in this book. Not in the other four Gospels. Not in the other three, sorry. Not in the other gospel, three Gospels. But in the last one, the fourth one, John, it specifically says the mother of Jesus. The mother, it says here, that the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." How mysterious is it? So right now, Jesus is kind of talking in riddles. Saying things like, "My hour has not yet come. What does this have to do with me?" Yada, yada, yada. Now, customarily, and I'll talk more about this later, wedding guests were supposed to offer up some form of wedding gift. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later when it comes to the wine itself. "The hour is not yet come." And then verse 5. "His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.'" Now, the servants are going to play a huge part in this story, which is probably not something that you've thought of before, mainly because they're such a minor character, right? And that's just it. It's the fact that the servants are a huge factor here, but, you know, no one ever gives them any credit. But I digress. I move on. Okay. "Now there were six stones. There were six stone water jars there. For the Jewish rites of purification, or the Jewish rituals. Each holding 20 or 30 gallons." Now, the commentary that I read, which is actually a commentary based off of the program that I use for my school. So, the introduction and commentary of John talks about how we're not sure if the factoid of 20 to 30 gallons was just that factual. Or it was a testimony to how amazing this miracle truly was. We don't know. We don't know for sure. 7. "Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars of water.' And they filled them up to the brim." So again, kind of going back to these servants. Unquestionable loyalty. In fact, it even says in the commentary straight up, it says that their loyalty was unquestionable, word for word. And we'll see how they're a huge part of this miracle in a second. "And he said to them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast.'" Okay, now I want to stop here. I want to talk about how awesome this is. I want you to imagine that some man told you, some man told you, "Hey, you see these jars of these like ridiculously big water jars? Fill them up with water." Okay. So you fill it up to the brim. And then without him like waving his hand or saying abracadabra, he goes, "Okay, now dip a cup into it and bring it to the master of the feast." How embarrassing would it be if nothing would have happened? Well, here's the thing, is that we don't know when this happened. We don't know exactly at what time in this event. When did the water turn to wine? We don't know. We don't know for sure. But we do know this. It did. And one thing that I'm kind of speculating right now, just thinking about it, is would this miracle have happened if they weren't so faithful to just bring the water to the master of the feast? Would this have even happened? I don't know. But I can also say this. I can only say this, actually, that these servants were a huge part of this. And again, they don't get much credit. And then it says here, so they took it. And then, okay, verse 9. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine. Maybe it's then. As soon as he put up to his lips, it became wine. Maybe. Now become wine, okay. And did not know where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. So it's kind of an insight. And again, guys, I'm reading from ESV. It's kind of an insight. It says that they knew. The servants knew, but no one else did. Not the master. But the servants knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine." So here's what happened, is that in those days, they'd bring out the good wine first, like top quality, imported from France, all that. That's the kind of quality that we're talking here, because they wanted the guests to enjoy the wine. They wanted there to be a good impression that was made. Until they've drank so much wine that their palates are now full and are now dulled down, that they can't tell the difference between the good wine and the not so good wine. So that's what happened. And what happened now was that Jesus kind of flipped this around. Jesus kind of turned around that tradition. We do know that he turned around quite a few traditions in his time. So, let's also talk about this. How much wine did he make? 180 gallons, according to my math. Well, let's think about it. Right? There were six jars. Each of them held 30, up to 30 gallons, 20 to 30. So between 120 gallons to 180 gallons, guys, this is a ridiculous amount. This was the first of the signs Jesus did at Canaan in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And that's where our reading ends for today. But isn't that kind of crazy? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? The fact that Jesus literally, without even touching the water, turned into wine. Now, one of the speculations that theologians have is that the reason that they used stone jars was, and this is a fact, was because stone was a material thought to be clean and not, you know, unclean. Therefore, like, you could use it for purification. However, the speculation here is the fact that they allowed this, the miracle was allowed to happen because it was clean. And one of the reasons that this is speculated is because in the scriptures, in the text itself, it specifies what the material was and what is used for. Hence, kind of telling you some more about why it's used in this miracle. It's very interesting, isn't it? Like, I'm beyond fascinated by this kind of stuff. But guys, that's it for today. That is John Devo. I hope you guys enjoy this. I really do. I'm going to be trying to crank out some more. I'm balancing a lot out right now, so we'll see what happens. But I'm going to definitely be doing my best. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today on H4TT, the podcast. Again, you know what it is. Hope for today's tomorrow. Here it is our goal, honor, and joy to share and spread the hope of Jesus Christ with tomorrow's church today. That's you guys. My name has been Alec. I have been your host for today. And I hope to see you guys later. Remember, guys, stay awesome, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay active. I'll see you next time.